You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history, the stories behind one of our local landmarks. And here, I'll give you a hint of where we're going today. Just a mile south of Mankato, nestled in the valleys created by the confluence of the Le Sueur, Blue Earth, and Minnesota rivers, makes a great terrain for skiing, snowboarding, tubing, and mountain biking.
Oh, Mount Cato.
Exactly.
I got stuck for a second on the confluence word. We've used that before, and I knew what that meant. But I always like when you say it. It's like, oh, look at this fancy word.
Yes. So today we're going to explore the history of a local landmark, Mount Cato, also known as Ski Haven. Ski Haven. So let's jump in and be surrounded by history. So whether it's called Ski Haven or Mount Cato, either name refers to the ski hill just south of Mankato on Highway 66 or also Highway 61. They've kind of been changing the names.
Not 61, just one, isn't it?
Just one. Sorry, yeah. Not 61. One. In existence since 1937, it is the most southerly ski hill in Minnesota and the largest in radius of 70 miles. Harvey Anderson bought the land in the 1930s looking for a place for ski jumping. Harvey started developing a small ski area just south of Mankato, just out on Kearney Avenue, which is what we were just saying, back in 1937. Anderson wanted a place for himself, his family, and a small group of enthusiasts where they could enjoy outdoor winter activities. The idea for the ski area actually started, though, in 1913 when Anderson attended a ski tournament in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. In 1977, Harvey took part in an oral history interview. And so here are Harvey's words as recorded in that 1977 oral history interview.
I had Ski Haven open to the public in 1938. I think I was the first one with a ski area in Minnesota outside of Worth Park. But I was a ski jumper. I got the bug with the Hoggins in Chippewa Falls in 1913. And I says to myself, oh, if I could only do what those guys do. There were a couple of us leading jumpers in their day. Anders Hoggin was four times United States ski jumping champion. He took first place in the Olympics once in France. And Lars was seven times United States world champion. I finally got into a Class A jumpers. I had a ski jump in Tinkhamville, the same place where they put up the jump for the Winter Carnival. That's where I done my practicing for tournaments. We had ski jumpers then. Anders Hoggin won it at that time with a jump of 91 feet.
Well, does that sound a little familiar? Do you remember I was talking about the Mankato Winter Carnival?
That's right. Almost a year ago, actually, you were talking about that.
Yeah. So that was in 1920. And so so Harvey was part of the Winter Carnival in 1920, and he was part of the ski jumping part that was out in Tinkhamville. Mm-hmm. And then Anders Hoggin was at that jump, and his jump won at 91 feet. And he goes on, so in Mankato at that time, you have someone who's going to come on to be to go into the Olympics in France and take first place, right. And he ski jumped right here in Mankato.
Isn't it incredible? One, the things that come through Mankato without us realizing it.
Right.
Two, how these stories, as we continue to go on, I'm sure it's only going to happen more, but all connect and interlace. And I love that.
Surrounded by history.
I know, exactly. And if I go back a little bit earlier, you just talked about Kearney Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that that road is out further west from what we talked about in a different podcast, James Avenue.
Yep.
And how that one wasn't really done yet, but
right.
They're out farther west yet already.
Exactly.
So they kind of just skipped an area
exactly.
In their building of the community.
I know. Crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. So let's go back to kind of where it all began for Harvey. So Harvey and some of his friends, Pete Thompson, Don and Gene Pagel, and Vince Peters wanted a place to strap on their 13 pound skis onto their feet and to soar. Their first jumping hill was at the end of Belgrade Avenue in North Mankato, right above the waterworks. So basically, think about the end of Belgrade Avenue, and you know that it's, then you have that, that bluff right there.
Right.
So that's where they must have created this ski jump.
You come down from up there and jump.
And jump. And so, unfortunately, that only lasted a couple of years because then car traffic increased, and they had to find another place. So we already just talked about it. In 1920, there was a hill out at James Avenue in Mankato, which also was known as Tinkhamville, and that was tied with the 1920 Winter Carnival. Well, after the Winter Carnival was over, they also used that hill for ski jumping, but then there was some housing development that starts up at that same time, and so they have to go find another place to go. It was then that Harvey noticed the side of a hill out on the Indian Lake Road was a natural amphitheater that looked just right for ski, tobogganing, bobsledding, and of course, ski jumping.
Perfect.
Perfect. The hill, he named it Ski Haven, opened for winter activities only on weekends in 1937. There was no ski lift of any kind, and if a person could climb the hill, they could come down for free. Four graduated ski jumps allowed enthusiasts to enjoy this unusual sport to their heart's content. There was no snowmaking equipment, so the skiers had to rely on Mother Nature. Besides, there was also no grooming. A group of skiers had to sidestep hills first to make them ready for riding. This would smooth down snow and pack it so it stuck to the ground underneath. Much of the time, Harvey could be seen shoveling snow into the toboggan trough to make a 200-yard run workable. No matter how you came down the hill, you had to walk back up for another run. In 1945, Harvey hooked up an old Buick engine to a bull wheel arrangement, which gave the ski hill a three-person rope tow. Now it was possible for the skier to get in more skiing than climbing time. The downside of the new convenience was the rope was heavy, slippery, and fast. By the end of the season, a person could easily count on going through a couple pair of mittens and a ski jacket. Also, four or more riders would be too much for the weight of the engine, and the system would stall. Ski Haven at this time started to charge a lift fee, and people skiing had to stop at a small ticket booth on Highway 66 and deposit a couple of dollars for a day or night's entertainment. A few light bulbs on the hill was enough for the night skiing, but skiers had to look left and right for any train traffic that might be coming down the track at the time they crossed into Ski Haven parking lot. Oh, my goodness. In 1951, Harvey hired two men from northern Minnesota to build a log cabin on the premises. Telephone poles were used, which meant the cabin could be no longer than that.
And we'll go about this length.
Yep,
good.
That's good. It became Ski Haven's Lodge, a place to get warm, to change clothes, and maybe get a bite to eat. His wife, Dolly, ran a counter of goodies. She always had fresh stacks of goodies. It was called Dolly's Counter, and she ran it herself. And what would Ski Haven be without hot chili, burgers, cookies, and the specialty of the house, which was Dolly's barbecues?
Ooh.
Dolly would stay up until 3 in the morning getting her barbecues ready for the next day's skier. At some time, after some time, she turned her secret recipe over to Randall's Grocery Store so they could make the sandwiches. But even then, she doctored it up a little with her own just right flavoring. 1951 was a good year for skiing with plenty of snow until the spring melt flooded the chalet. That's also the same year as the big major 1951 flood of the Minnesota River, which goes on the record books as one of the worst. So the Andersons never intended to make a profit with the hill. Harvey was actually an electrician by trade, and he continued to own his electric company, owning Anderson Electric. His son Jim opened Jim's Sporting Goods Store in downtown Mankato in 1964 to help fill the demand for ski equipment and to keep up the interest in skiing. In 1966, major upgrading took place at Ski Haven. The rope tows were electrified, and more lighting made skiing safer. More land was purchased to create a number of new hills, or new trails, I should say. A snow cat was purchased to groom the hills daily, and a lift was added to the rope toes. A ski rental building was added to make the area bigger for skiers. And even though Ski Haven was becoming modern, Dolly still served her barbecues, and Harvey continued to play his musical instruments and tell stories.
So far, as they, this is in the 60s now, I just can see this being such a cool place to stop on the weekends.
I know.
And just enjoy a Saturday night.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
It is really cool to hear about.
Isn't it? It is. It just sounds like a very... a very hometown thing. So Afton Alps purchased the facility in 1977, renaming it Mount Cato. Ski and snowboarding lessons, race leagues, and terrain park for tricks, ski and snowboard patrol, and mountain biking in the summer are now all available. The Mankato Area Adaptive Ski Program has provided ski experiences for those with disabilities since 2000. So we have a fun little facts about Mr. Anderson. You want to take a little detour with me?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right. So as I'm talking about him and all of his adventures with being a ski jumper, he is quite the outdoorsman. So he is actually better known for canoeing than skiing or ski jumping.
Oh, really? That's not, doesn't say good for his hobby that he loved the most, I suppose.
Isn't that crazy? So he had a lot of hobbies, actually. Okay. He had a lot of hobbies. So he formed the North Mankato Canoe Club in the early 1920s. In 1923, he made a 6-month solo trip to New Orleans via canoe. He also paddled along the Canadian border, New York's Hudson River, and he was involved in many paddle derbies.
Wow.
Yep.
So with all this, how did he even have time to open up Ski Haven?
I know. And remember, he's an electrician.
And he had a paying job. What kind of vacation time did they have?
And he has a paying job. And this is another little sidetrack of a sidetrack. He was an electrician that worked on the construction of Rapidan Dam.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. I know. My mind just gets blown every time.
All of a sudden, this turns into a Forrest Gump type story.
I know.
Almost.
He's just
he skied with people who were in the Olympics.
Yes.
He was built a ski haven, and then he also was an electrician on the Rapidan Dam.
Yeah. Wait. It gets better.
Oh, there's more.
There's more. So he was an avid canoe racer.
Okay.
Okay. So his partner was Fred Hansen, and they took top spots in several races. Sometimes those races were 800 miles long.
Whoa.
Okay. And he was followed by the press. I mean, there was actually I saw something that said there was a movie made, and I think there was just maybe film footage, but. There's more to. I got to find out more.
Okay.
So, but in 1944, the Free Press, a Free Press story about Anderson estimated that he had paddled 35,000 miles. So, I mean, this is what he was known for.
So here he is, wanting to be this big ski jumper.
Well, he just loved it.
He wanted to continue doing that. He got to meet these Olympians, and national champions. He kept working on it. But then, as soon as the ice was thawed out, he just would canoe to his heart's content.
Right.
And he also had a full-time job.
Oh, and he was the founder of the North Mankato Hockey Club. And he's also one of the founders of the Mankato Skating Club in 1924. So he also enjoyed skating. He enjoyed skating, ski jumping, canoeing, tobogganing. There's a whole thing about him and tobogganing down around the Main Street Hill.
Okay.
And that this was a big thing as well. I remember we talked about that in the Winter Carnival.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we also talked about skating in the Winter Carnival because in the 1920 Winter Carnival, there was an ice skating rink. And at the rink, they had brought in professional skaters to do professional demonstrations. There were competitions and amateur skating and things like that. Well, in 1924, 4 years later, he was one of the founders of the Mankato Skating Club. So they used the ice skating pond that was on the slough near what today is West Mankato High School. And the slough is by James Avenue, is one that we're going to dig into a little bit more in another podcast. So they built a skating house at this ice skating pond with funds donated from the 1920 Winter Carnival.
Got it.
Okay. So he started the club with some of his friends, which just happened to include Eddie and Roy Shipstad, which at the point didn't mean anything to me. They were from St. Paul.
Okay. I was like, should I know that name the way you said it?
I didn't, but let me go here. The brothers, along with Oscar Johnson, started an ice skating touring company known as Shipstad's and Johnson Ice Follies in 1936. Ice Follies was a touring ice show featuring elaborate production numbers similar in concept to the Ice Capades.
Oh my gosh. So they started something that was basically became the Ice Capades.
That basically became the Ice Capades.
And now it started because he got these friends.
He got these friends from St. Paul who would come down and hang out with Harvey and skate on Madison Lake and show off all of their fancy skating. And then they go off and start this ice skating touring company with ice shows in 1936.
This is Forrest Gump.
I know. Isn't this absolutely crazy?
Somebody should get on the phone with MGM or whoever makes movies.
They did make a movie of Ice Follies.
Of Ice, this?
Yes, there's actually a movie of Ice Follies.
Of this story of these guys?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes, it's
and
crazy.
And the fact that this guy has connections to everyone again.
He's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's the 7 degrees of Harvey Anderson.
So how does it work if the movies company comes to us to ask to take these stories from our podcast and make them into a movie? Because this sounds like this story, especially this Harvey guy,
I know,
had an incredible life. And I would love to hear how he made it all fit.
I know.
I mean,
I know
all these things going on.
So luckily, you can, in a way, hear how he made some of it all come along. So I mentioned earlier, it's the portion that you read for us.
Yeah.
In 1977, he did sit down and do an oral history interview. And that interview is available at Minnesota State University Mankato in their library. And so you can actually read the transcript or you could listen to the audio of Harvey telling his story. I sat there and read the transcript, and he takes you all over the place. He was born in the late 1800s, and he walks you down the street like he was just there the other day. And
that's cool.
The place is, I think.
How old? What year is it? 77. You said
the interview was from 1977.
So he would have been, grandpa age would have been probably even earlier, but he would have been older. Mm-hmm. So hearing him tell a story would have been just like listening to your grandpa share stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine. And it's probably would have been vivid stories.
Yep. And lots of squirrel moments and all that good stuff.
Squirrel moments.
At 1977, I mean, that's the year that Afton Alps purchases the facility.
Okay, so that's probably why they shared the story then,
right,
too.
Renames at Mount Cato. So today, Mount Cato. At Mount Cato, you can find 19 trails on 55 acres of skiable land, 10 chairlifts, and a tubing hill. But unfortunately, no ski jumps.
I gotta imagine the ski jump thing, although awesome in its time,
quickly
became an insurance problem.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
So that's why there's no ski jumps today. You're not doing that.
Not here anymore.
Sorry
not
for
here.
The amateurs, but there's no just trying that on a whim.
When you go to Mount Cato, do not ski jump.
I watching the ski jumps on the Olympics and wherever else you might see them, it's always incredible to watch them just float through the air, and then somehow after all that, still land. Like, just like, boop, no big deal.
No big deal.
Just gonna plop down right here.
Oh my gosh. So head out to Mount Cato. Go have some fun in the snow. Remember Harvey Anderson and his passion for the outdoors. We hope you enjoy today's program as we explore the rich history of a true local landmark, Mount Cato. All of the information we share today came from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, in particular an article that was written by one of our volunteers, Hilda Parks, and also that oral history interview with Harvey that is kept at the South Central Minnesota Regional Repository at Minnesota State University, Mankato.
Question. Sorry. What's a repository?
Oh, it's just like a library.
Oh, okay.
Just
thought it
archives. Asked. It's an archive.
Archives, got it.
Okay.
Repository sounded funny. I know. That?
Regional archives.
I should probably know what that meant.
That's okay. I use these fancy big words sometimes. We thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.